السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. He's listening to the understand Urdu? No. Usually this does happen in Urdu. But I think there are some people today that will not understand Urdu, so we'll do it in English. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli wa nusallimu ala rasulihi al-kareem amma ba'd. Fa'a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. يا داود إنا جعلناك خليفة في الأرض فاحكم بين الناس بالحق ولا تتبع الهوى فيضلك عن سبيل الله إن الذين يضلون عن سبيل الله لهم عذاب شديد بما نسوا يوم الحساب صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. The verse which was recited right now is a verse from Surah Sad. And this verse is actually a completion of the verses which were discussed last week concerning Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam and an incident regarding Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam. Now what is it? So we will not discuss it in detail again. But in a nutshell, an incident happened in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam. Sayyiduna Dawood alayhi salam, he passed the test. It was an incident which required a lot of sabr. But he made a small error. Rather, maybe the word error is even incorrect. It was a small miscalculation and a small oversight. It wasn't even a sin. It was a case of the task would have been better done in this manner, and he instead carried it out in that manner. And even that was because circumstances were not ideal. So the Anbiya alayhim salam, as we discussed in detail last week, Allah Ta'ala holds them to very high expectations as well. And they also hold themselves to very high expectations. That means many a time we do a sin and we don't do tawbah. Anbiya alayhim salam, they would do something which was nowhere near sin. Allah Ta'ala keeps them safe from sins. But they would do something which they thought afterwards that, even if sometimes they thought, sometimes Allah Ta'ala wouldn't even inform them of anything, but after doing something they would think that maybe Allah Ta'ala would have desired that I do it, I had done it in this manner instead of that manner. So even that small decision, they would seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they wouldn't rest until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would inform them that I have forgiven you. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the glorious Quran about his pious servants as well. He mentions about his pious servants. One thing he says is, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ, that they spend a small portion of the night sleeping. That means they spend majority of the night in worship. And the night ends at Subah Sadiq, which we call it Sahri time. That is the final portion of the night. So they spend majority of the night in worship, in Tahajjud Salah, in Dua, in Sujood, in Ruku. But come Sahri time, what are they busy doing? وَبِالْأَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ, at the time of suhoor, at the time of dawn, they're busy in istighfar. So the ulama, the mufassirin have posed a question that after a person spends the night in worshipping Allah Ta'ala, what is the need to do istighfar? If anything, he should feel happy and he should be doing shukr to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala give me the tawfiq to do such an amal. And these pious people, they do that as well, but they do istighfar also. So the mufassirin have said that because the pious servants of Allah Ta'ala, because they have truly recognized the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, whenever they do something, however great it looks, they always think that I am not worshipping Allah Ta'ala as He should be worshipping. Neither in terms of quantity nor in terms of quality. When they look at the salah, it may be 10 times better than ours, but they still think that it isn't as it should be. They look at the quality, and this is something Deen teaches us, that a person should always have this attitude that I'm doing whatever I can, Allah Ta'ala will accept it inshallah. He shouldn't have this attitude that Allah Ta'ala will definitely not accept. No. He should have this attitude that inshallah Allah Ta'ala will accept it. But at the same time, the mentality should be that I know that the salah which I performed, in terms of quality, concentration, whether it was exactly according to sunnah or not, it was defective. So if Allah Ta'ala does accept it is His grace. So these pious servants, at the end of the night, they would look at the night's worship of ibadah and they would think that it wasn't as it should have been done. So they would be busy themselves in istighfar. So Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam was the same. So a small error happened. And he realized. So he went into sajda and he started crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the Quran, it has been mentioned that فَغَفَرْنَا لَهُ ذَلِكَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed him that we have forgiven you. It wasn't a sin anyway, but this oversight, we haven't forgiven you. And some historians have written that in the Quran it mentions that he did sajda, he asked for forgiveness, Allah Ta'ala forgave him. But some historians have written that actually he did sajda continuously for 40 days and so sought forgiveness, and then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's information came. So it was a very small error, and a very great repentance. So it was a very great amal in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, which is why He has mentioned it in the glorious Quran. And that is also why this verse of the glorious Quran, which mentions Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam doing sajda, when we come across this verse, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has informed that we also do a sajda to tilawa. Why Dawood alayhi salam did the sajda out of repentance? We do it out of gratitude that Dawood alayhi salam's repentance was accepted. And we should mention a couple of points regarding sajda to tilawa, because this is not a discussion which is commonly mentioned. But we know that there are 14 verses in the Quran or so, in different places, where when you come across them, then it is wajib to carry out a sajda. So the first point we should mention is that whilst it is not wajib to carry out the sajda immediately, right now if we recite an ayah where a sajda is compulsory, that sajda can be done now, it can be done tomorrow, whenever a person wishes. But sometimes we become lax in this matter. And we've recited one verse, we've let it go, and they pile up. So a person should, they still remain on a person's side, a person should fulfill them. And they are not difficult to fulfill, one sajda takes a few seconds. But my advice would be that as far as possible, when you read a verse where there is a sajda, do the sajda straight away. Do the sajda, carry out the sajda straight away. That is the first point. The second point is that there is a hadith here which is beneficial for us to mention, which is that Sayyidina Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he mentions that I went to sleep one night and I saw a dream. And in the dream, I saw myself performing salah. And I also saw some trees performing salah. Every makhluk of Allah Ta'ala worships him in his own manner. So he said, it was shown to me that this tree is busy in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And he said that the Quran was being recited. Either he was reciting or someone else was reciting. And these verses of Surah Sa'd were being recited where Dawood alayhi salam's sajda was mentioned. So he said that when this verse was recited, then the tree fell into sajda. The tree fell into sajda. And I heard it reciting a certain dua in sajda as well. What was this dua? Allahumma ktubli biha indaka ajra. O Allah, prescribe, write reward for me in exchange for this. وَضَعَنِّي بِهَا وِزْرًا. and remove sins in exchange of this sajda. وَجَعَلْهَا لِي عِنْدَكَ ذُخْرًا, and make it a treasure for me in the hereafter. Store it for me as a treasure in the hereafter. وَتَقَبَّلْهَا مِنِّي كَمَا تَقَبَّلْتَهَا مِنْ عَبْدِكَ دَاوُدٍ, and accept it from me just like you accepted the sajda of your servant Dawood. So he read this dua, quite a beautiful dua. It has so many requests inside. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, in this dream, the tree did sajda, but he didn't do sajda. This happened in a dream, a person doesn't have control over what he's doing. So he went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the next day. He informed him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's practice was, after Fajr, usually he would ask, anyone seen a dream? And people, so Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, did you do sajda? So he said, no. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should have also done sajda. And Ibn Abbas says, after that, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would carry out this sajda, I would hear him reciting this dua. So this is a dua which can be read in the sajda of tilawah. When a person goes in sajda of tilawah, he reads Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la, rather, 3 times, 5 times, 7 times. Then if he remembers, then he should also write this dua. Inshallah, when we get a chance, we'll put it on the notice board. It's a very beautiful dua with a lot of meanings inside. A person should learn it. So that is regarding sajda of tilawah. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Dawood alayhi salam a command. He says, Ya Dawood, O Dawood, Inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ard. Definitely we have made you a representative in the land, on the earth. فَحْكُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِالْحَقِّ. So, judge amongst the people truthfully, correctly. وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْحَوَىٰ, and do not follow desires. فَيُضِلَّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, because they will lead you astray, they will take you away from the path of Allah. Dawood alayhi salam was told, we have made you a representative. A khalifa. Khalifa literally means representative. Representative of who? Representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean, representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true judge. He will judge everyone in the hereafter. He is the one who gives everyone the right. So a khalifa is called a khalifa because it is his responsibility to fulfill everyone's rights, to judge between everyone correctly. That is why a true Islamic leadership is not called, a true Islamic leader is not called a king or a ruler or any other one. A true Islamic leader is given this term khalifa. But he is only given this term khalifa if he fulfills these requirements. Even if you open the books of history, every single Islamic ruler, the ulama and the historians did not call him khalifa. There was some that were called khalifa and some were not called khalifa. Why? Those people that fulfill the qualities that a khalifa needs, they deserve this title. And this is a very great title. He is a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he was sitting with a few sahaba, some senior sahaba. Talha radiallahu anhu, Zubair, Ka'ab, Salman radiallahu anhu, very senior sahaba. He's the khalifa at this time. And Umar radiallahu anhu was always worried that, am I doing my job properly or not? I've been named the khalifa, am I actually fulfilling the responsibility? So these senior sahaba came, so he thought it was an opportunity. So he to ask them that, what is the difference between being a khalifa and being an ordinary king? So Talha and Zubayr radiallahu anhu, they hadn't heard anything from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard. So they said, we don't know. Salman radiallahu anhu had heard something from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He had learned something, either from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly or indirectly, maybe from another sahabi, etc. So he said that, I know the difference. What is the difference? So a king is a ruler. What is a khalifa? A khalifa is someone who has a few qualities. Number one, يَعْدِلُ فِي الرِّعِيَّةِ, he is just in dealing with his underlings. He doesn't think, I have power, so I live a certain lifestyle, everyone else leads a certain lifestyle. I have so many opportunities, everyone else, you know, they struggle accordingly. Once Umar radiallahu anhu, he was sitting on the dastarkhan, and one sahabi came to visit him. So he allowed him in. And then he told him that, if you see anything wrong in my life, anything that needs correcting, then do tell me. A person should, his close associates, he should tell them from time to time, if you see anything wrong with me, do inform me. So the Sahabi said that, no, you're doing everything perfect. Well, but there is one thing that needs correcting. There is one thing that needs correcting. Now ahead we will understand what a tiny thing it was, what an insignificant thing it was. Umar radiallahu anhu said, do tell me. The Sahabi said that on your dastarkhan I see two different types of dishes. Whereas there are many people living under you at this moment in time who can only afford one dish. So the Khalifa has two different dishes on his dastarkhan, but there are many people under him who can't afford it. Umar radiallahu anhu said, you are correct. From tomorrow you will not see two dishes on my dastarkhan. So يَعَدِلُ فِي الرَّعِيَّةِ, he is just in dealing with the ra'iyyah. وَيَقْسِمُ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ, and he distributes wealth, favors with equality. Not people who he favors, his close people, they are favored. Other people are left dealt unjustly with. Third quality, وَيَشْفِقُ عَلَيْهِمْ شَفَقَةَ الرَّجُلِ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, he has compassion for them. How much compassion? Just like a person has compassion for his family. He has worry for his family. Is my family, you know, my family, are they resting well? My children, my wife, are they resting? Are they eating? If some financial difficulty comes, more than his own worry, he has this worry that my wife, my children, how will, what about them? So the Khalifa has this quality. And the final quality, وَيَقْضِي بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ, he judges according to the book of Allah Ta'ala, according to the law of Allah Ta'ala, nothing else. So these are very high qualities. And many a time, some people, when they hear about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the conquest that they carried out, then they think, you know, why did they go around conquering different places? One reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sahaba, the Muslimin, that where possible, you know, take over other areas, was because to establish justice there. Because there can be no method of justice better than the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are very amazing examples from the era of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Just we'll mention one example that which happened in the era of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. That at that time Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he was the commander in chief of the army. So the army conquered a place. The name escapes my memory. And it was a place where there was a majority of Jews living there. So Sayyidina Ubaidah, the army is traveling, so the army decided to stop there. At that time, there wasn't a need to go further ahead. So they stopped there and they established rulership, etc., command there. After a few weeks, maybe a few months, circumstances changed. The army was needed elsewhere. Someone else was preparing to fight against the Muslims. So Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu sat down to do mashwara with his advisors, and they came to the conclusion that we can't retain control of this place anymore. We don't have enough members to leave a group here to retain control of this place, and because the entire army is needed, to move in a certain direction. No one can stay here. And we have just come here, we haven't established, no Muslim population, significant Muslim population has been established here. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, after listening to the entire discussion, he approved of this. He said that, you know, that seems to be the way to go. So what did you do? The first thing he did was he called the Jews. And he said that, look, we came here, we took control, and we started taking jizya from you. Jizya is a tax which is paid. But he said that we can't fulfill our responsibility of staying in control, so the first thing we will do is return the jizya that you have paid to us. And we are telling you that now we are leaving, we can't stay here. So the historians mentioned that at that time the Jews pleaded with the Muslims that please do come back. When you get a chance, do come back. Because this is the first time you have seen justice. So Islam is not a barbaric religion that go around conquering for no reason. No, the Khalifa has the responsibility of establishing justice. That was the first quality that was mentioned. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, وَلَا تَتَّبِعِ الْحَوَىٰ, don't follow your desires. فَيُضِلَّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, because they will lead you astray from the path of Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَضِلُّونَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, definitely those people who go astray from the path of Allah, لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ, for them is a severe punishment. بِمَا نَسُوا يَوْمَ الْحِسَابِ, because they forgot the day of reckoning. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Dawud alayhi salam that don't follow your desires. Now, Dawud alayhi salam was a Nabi.
He's protected from following his desires anyway. But Dawud alayhi salam was given this command to tell everyone else that when a Nabi is still told of this, that don't follow your desires. He is still told that stay on your toes. Make sure you don't let your desires take the better of you. Then an ordinary person should be even more careful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned a general statement which is very beneficial. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first said that whoever follows their desires, as a result, they go astray. So the worst form of going astray is that a person leaves iman, but he leaves the disobedience of the obedience of Allah. That is also going astray. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said for him is a severe punishment. Why? Bima nasu yawm al hisab, because he forgot the day of reckoning. What does that tell us? A person follows his desires when he forgets about the day of judgment. When he forgets about the hereafter, when he forgets that he has to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and give account for that deed which he is about to do. If that awareness remains in his mind, that what I am about to go ahead and do, I will be questioned about it. If I can't give a satisfactory answer, I may well be punished. Then he will be able to control his desires. Then he will stay on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to reach Jannah, you need to stay on the path to Allah. To stay on the path to Allah, you must control your desires. There is no other way about it. How do you control your desires? By regularly remembering the day of reckoning. Regularly remembering the day of reckoning. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nazi'at, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةِ هِيَ الْمَوَى. Same message that is mentioned here in different words. As for that person, what does he do? The first thing, خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّ. He has the fear of standing in front of his Rabb, where he will be questioned. Because he has this fear, what is he able to do? وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He is able to stop his nafs from following its impermissible desires. Then what happens? He will reach Jannah, he will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَوَى. Jannah is his abode. So remembrance of the hereafter, remembrance of the day of reckoning is the key. It is the key ingredient. Sometimes we think the ulama keep going on about it. They keep mentioning, it is the key. It keeps our iman alive. And if there is someone who is not practicing, maybe it is us, maybe it is our children, maybe it is someone we know, it is because there is a lack of worry of the hereafter. And if you want to bring someone on amal, whether it is yourself, whether it is your children, then start mentioning the hereafter, create the worry about the hereafter. When the worry for the hereafter is created, automatically a person will worry about controlling his desires. And when he has this worry about controlling his desires, he will adopt all the means that are necessary to help him in controlling his desires as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand the glorious Quran and practice upon it. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. As many know, this the 15th night of Sha'ban is blessed, so let us make the most of it. And the number one point of making the most of any blessed occasion is that a person stays away from the disobedience of Allah. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that stay away from the disobedience of Allah and you are the biggest worshipper. So that is the biggest worship you can do. That is number one on the list of what we need to do. In general in life, but especially on the 15th night of Sha'ban in Ramadan. And beyond that, do as much as we can for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the perfect practice.